Thank you for joining us today at Miniature Wargaming Labs. I'm James.
And I'm Brian.
And Brian, you are back from Adepticon.
I am. It's been a little while. Schedules misaligned, so we couldn't really record after I got back.
Well, I wasn't able to make it to Adepticon, so I was in New York while you were there. So, but how did it go?
It was amazing, as always. I mean, last year being my first one, I had that to go off of. And so this year, I decided to just experience the convention, right? I played two games, two very short games, and then go around the convention hall doing whatever, right? Found out, you know, I felt like I missed out on a lot of playing games, mm-hmm. right? Because that's why a lot of people go there, is to play the games. So this year I decided to, let's just pack my schedule and play a bunch of games. So I scheduled a game for every single day. Not just a game, a tournament. So it's not just like, oh yeah, I'm going to play this game with this person. No, I'm going to play four rounds or three rounds of a tournament all day, every single day of the convention. I need to find a middle ground. Because although it was a lot of fun, and I would definitely do that again, maybe, not like that. It was very tiring. It didn't help that I also hurt my back, like, a couple days beforehand, so that did not add to it at all. I was also the one that got a... I elected to sleep on the floor before my back was hurt, and that didn't help anything at all. But besides those two bad things, it was that those didn't even, like, I can overlook those any day, because it was just absolutely amazing.
Well, how'd you do at the tournaments?
Okay, so first day was Seven's Blood Bowl. So it's Blood Bowl, but you only have seven players on the field instead of the normal 11. It severely limits your actions and your possibilities of what you could do during the game. It's a lot more fast, and it's a lot more brutal. So first game, I tied because the weather was... you roll weather at the beginning of each game. It was raining, and none of us can catch the ball. So it was just... the ball was slipping everywhere. We couldn't score a touchdown. Neither of us scored. Second game, I won. That was a really good game, and then I scored one goal, and I almost scored one goal in the last one, but I only had one result that I had to not roll to make the last goal, and of course I didn't roll that, of course. And then I lost my last two games. Great games. So that was four rounds. They were like an hour each, so it was a... we got done in enough time that I was able to go explore the hall for a little bit. And that was... so the problem with doing games all day, every day, is that you have very limited time to go shopping. And I found out that is more important to me than playing games.
Well, you know that... because I found that out at Historicon. Like, I drove up there, and by the time I got there, they were closed. Because they did, like, core business hours. Nova, they were open all the time.
Yeah.
And since we had hotels on site, it's like... even if you filled up your schedule, you weren't going to fill it up that much.
Yes.
So there was, like, 4 days you could always go to the vendor hall.
And also, like, those vendor halls are way smaller than Adepticons.
True.
Like, Adepticon is... every
That's
vendor.
True. You got to trade off. You have a much bigger area to search.
Yeah, I know I didn't see everything, and I did not spend as much time as I wanted to at certain booths as I wanted to, because they're only open till 6. So they open at 10 to 6. They're only open 8 hours, so it's normal business hours. You know, you don't want to overwork your staff.
Why not? I mean, that just makes sense to
me. It's just one weekend, right?
Get back to work, wage slaves.
It's 5 days. They can work 24 hours a day for 5 days out of the year. Gosh. We'll throw them a couple extra dollars, and it's fine. It's fine.
All I ask is to pay you 40 hours of work and you to give me 80 hours. I mean, is that so much?
Yeah, exactly. So, so the first thing I did, I was, so on my lunch break, there was a game I was very interested in. I'm not going to say what game it was because I don't have the best things to say about it. And I'd rather let people...
Yeah, I told you to check it out. Hey, yes. Because I saw
it. And I was already looking for it because I was like, those miniatures are super cool. They were right up my alley. And then, like, it's right outside of the room that I'm playing at. So I'm like, cool. Lunch. I brought my own lunch. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to walk out, get a demo. And then by the time I'm done, it'll be time to play the next round. So I play the demo. I'm like, wow, that wasn't fun. So after the games, I was like, okay, well, there was one other game that I had to get a demo of because I'm always skeptical about properties being made into games, especially when they're video game properties, because I've heard like the board game versions of the video games are pretty, like some of them are good, some of them are bad, but like after playing Marvel for a little bit and getting tired of it, and then but Mantic is releasing the
Halo
miniature game. And it's based off of their firefight.
Okay.
Their skirmish game. So it's... I forgot that it was based off of that. So I went and played it. And I realized that it's based off of that. And the rules are great for that game. And I didn't realize that how well Halo would have fit into that. And they changed the rules a little bit to match more Halo style. So it's like if you've ever played Halo back in the day, if you die during the match, you respawn. You take a little, you like take a 10 second break and then you respawn. It's the same thing. You're out for, one of your guys is out for the round and then they respawn in at a respawn point. And the dice actions are really nice. You get bonuses for like being in cover. Movement is based on squares, so you move how many squares you can move, but the squares are 3 inches each, 3x3, and you could end anywhere in the square. So you don't need any measurement tools, you don't need anything like that, and it's a really smooth game that I think I'm definitely going to buy. I'm going to buy the big box. I was thinking of just getting the little box, but when they said that you get elites in the big box, I was kind of sold. Modular terrain, another great thing.
Does the big box come with the terrain?
Every box comes with the terrain, which is nice. The big box just comes, so the small box comes with 8 Spartans and the rule books and the dice and everything. The big box comes with 16 Spartans and 4 elites. So you get 8 miniatures in the main box. The big box comes with 20 miniatures. So pretty big jump there for miniature wise. So and then you get the terrain, and then there's another box of terrain that's out, and it's flat packed. So it's just you just build it when you're ready to play, kind of like Monster Fight Club.
Yeah, I was thinking Cyberpunk Red did that.
It goes together a little bit easier. You don't have to worry about clips or anything.
You know, the clips bothered me with the Cyberpunk Red. Until I start, because I broke them out, it's like, because they don't really give you good instructions.
They don't. There's no instructions.
And once you start, and so you pull it out and say, this is kind of stupid. You start building it, and it's like, I wonder if I can get 3 levels out of
it. Yeah, exactly.
So I start building, I spent way too much time building giant cyberpunk buildings.
Oh, I know, yeah. I have like a giant, like, it's only 2 stories, but it's like a foot wide. And it's just like a giant storefront that was just like burnt out. I'm just like, yeah, you could do a lot with this.
Well, that, you know, that's the thing. This terrain's stupid. I wonder if I can get a 3rd level on it.
See, you know, that's why you got to play around with things. Yeah. Because first thoughts are always changed.
Well, what scale is the Halo miniatures? Because I like the aesthetic, but maybe not for the actual games.
So the miniatures are 32 millimeter. which is...
That's become the new standard.
That's pretty much the new standard. But, gotta remember that it's elites and Spartans. They're way bigger than normal humans. It's 28 millimeter scale. Because they were thinking that, well, they're not thinking about it. They're bringing in other factions. So they're bringing in the Marines. So okay. The normal humans. And those are going to be 28 millimeter scale.
Okay, so these guys are 32 mil. Not because they're 32 mil scale, they're 28 scale, and that's how big they are. Yes. They're space marines.
They're space marines, exactly. Okay. And then so we're gonna get the grunts for the aliens. We're gonna get the marines for the humans. There's gonna be the other brutes, and then they said possibly down the line there'll be the flood. So.
Interesting.
I am very, very excited for this game, and so I will definitely be getting the big box and the secondary box of terrain.
Did they give prices there?
The price of the big box is going to be $200. $150. Oh, okay. It's $50 for the terrain box and the big box. Okay. So it's $200 for that bundle, and then the regular box is going to be $75.
So... Part of a Crew Tau Empire box. A piece of it.
Yes.
A large piece.
But yeah, just a full game. Piece. You just get a full game for a part.
For an army.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I might be interested in that one. Even just as a pure miniatures play.
Yeah.
And terrain play.
I mean, I'm a big Halo fan. I grew up on Halo, so I was just like, well, maybe this will translate. Oh, it translated.
I was the target demo, but I wasn't... When Halo 1 came out, I wasn't in a position, like, work-wise and school-wise, to play that.
That's fair.
So
I never got hooked in. I'm a little bit younger than you, yeah, so I was...
You know, I was the demo for it, but it's just, like, I don't have time to do this. So I'll share a story here. The one time I made an exception for that was when they released Transformers War for Cybertron, and I was like... Big Transformers fan. Let me go and check this out. And they're like, hey, you know, if you pre-order, we'll give you the code to unlock Shockwave into the game. Okay, great. I'll pre-order. I come back and I was like, all right, I'd like to get my game. Here you go. And the guy just isn't staring. He's like, so how do I get the Shockwave? And it was something like I had it on Wii because I got a... Aaron and I got a Wii, and like we hunted. That was back when like Wiis were hard to find. So like every day I'd go out and scour for the Wii truck. Like, well, I've got a. He goes, well, you ordered the Wii version. So, well, that's only for the PlayStation player. You think that might have been when Yasol said, "Hey, why don't you order now?" I ordered a Wii, so it's not like he didn't know.
Yeah.
So, it's like, you know what?
He sold you on a lie.
Screw you, GameStop. Screw you and your whole industry.
I mean, there's a reason that industry is struggling right now. It's struggling.
All right. So we'll see how we'll divide up the Halo. That might be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you do after that?
So after that, I had to do my ninja shopping. So I went straight to Corvus Belly. And because they were like, this was at like 5:30. So they were closing in like 30 minutes. And I was like, all right, well, I better get all the special stuff before everything closes. First day, because it was super busy. Like, GW had a 2-hour wait line, but they're always open. You don't have to worry about.
Well, they're normally outside the hall.
They're like right outside the hall. Yeah. Yep, in the GW hall. And then Corvus Belly, they were about at a 45-minute wait. They had two lines, so they were moving through people pretty quickly. Smart. And then there was Blacksite Studios, which was like my target. That was my target for this year. They had an hour and a half to 2-hour line wait.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, that is amazing. Super happy for them, but I'm not waiting in that line. So I went to Corvus Belly, and I bought, they had the new Torchlight Brigade Army release, and I was not interested in that at all. But, of course, you know, people in my crew were, so I bought three of the bundles and some of the special miniatures. Two of them were for me. That's all I got from Corvus Belli. And that came out to almost $800 the first day. And then we went and ate after that. So the next day, I was like, okay, so we're at the other hotel. So there's two hotels for this convention. One has the Historicals and Armada and Lord of the Rings.
Makes sense. That's how you break
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, you know. Well, the Armada apparently needed its own giant space, so...
That blows my mind.
With 200 players.
Because the last Novas I go, like, Armada's off in the corner. And Armada was never big at Nova Open.
Yeah.
But it got smaller over time. So when you told me... Like, Sean, the store owners, got big into Armada recently. And I have the stuff. It's just I've never been able to find anyone to play with.
Yeah, there's like 10 people that play it locally.
They never come out.
They don't.
Like I've seen
no.
them in the,
I mean,
in the 5 years I've been here.
Now that there's 20 game stores in the area, they go to, like, they're so spread out that you're not going to find them.
Yeah. But to see 200 people playing Armada, that's insane.
Crazy. I mean, I was in the Middle-Earth strategy battle game doubles. So me and my friend entered, and it was... 136 people playing Mezbeg. Yeah. And there was open tables. They said that they're going to increase the cap last year because that was them selling out.
Man. So, how many people played last year?
The year before that, they said they had 80 people play.
So the tournament scene for that game is growing. Which means, you know, if you figure most tournament
well,
people...
Well, it was the friendly doubles.
Friendly doubles,
so for
okay.
the singles, they sold out at 85 or 86.
Okay. But if you figure people who show up to the convention to play only probably represent, what, anywhere from 3 to 10% of the population that's buying and playing?
Yes.
That's a huge growth factor.
Yeah, it's giant. I mean, I think... I have to say that I think it's because 40K and AOS are really falling in favor to all these, even Games Workshop's other smaller games. So I see a lot of people moving from 40K to other games, mostly still Games Workshop games. But, you know, they're more fun games like Necromunda and Mezbeg and Blood Bowl and things like that.
Well, you know, I think it's there's the 40K studio, there's the AOS studio, and then there's Specialist Games.
Yes.
And I know with the old world, there's been a fight, because it was supposed to be Specialist Games only, kind of small print run, nostalgia based, and I know the main studio has wanted to take the old world, and that's, I think, some of the issues with the old world, is like, there's an internal fight over it.
Yeah.
But I hope it stays, because Mezbeg and Necromunda, I have just seen steadily grow in popularity because they haven't changed editions.
Yes.
Which might not be good for sales, but it grows. Huge communities are in the Specialist Games because they don't change anything.
Yeah, and the guys, it's like, oh, well, I took a year off, or like, I took 2 years off. Are my rules still good? Yeah. No, they haven't changed anything. Okay, cool. Here's all my miniatures.
Well, it's like with the Necromunda FAQ, you can actually take like the 2017 book. It's going to be a lot of like cutting and pasting into the book of tabs.
Yes.
I mean, because they change stuff, it evolves, but it's never like SPQRs like 1.5.
Yeah,
there's like slight changes there. It's not like Bolt Action second edition of where you have like huge facts runs, but it's like we didn't change anything, so there's not massive amounts of flux.
Or even like the new AOS, which is the announced 4th edition at Adepticon. And just recently, just the other day, they announced that they're removing 82...
To kill Stormcast Eternals? To kill some of those early releases? It's like, you know what? I'm glad I didn't buy that first box. I've got some of those minis that I haven't gotten around to painting.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we're going to move it to Legends.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in 10 years, you'll bring them back as AOS... the old world.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, and now, like, everything that was removed other than the Stormcast is probably be either getting remade, like the Clan Rats and mm-hmm. the Skaven. Everything there is going to be reprinted soon and remade. But all the other ones, like the Savage Orcs and the Beasts of Chaos, those are all just going to the Old World.
Well, you know, that... So, when they re-released Old World, because when they killed Fantasy Battles and they moved a lot of those armies into AOS, you could tell it's like they weren't happy to move the old properties over.
Yeah.
And they were slowly, like, with the Water Elves and the Sun Elves, it's like they were slowly changing it over. But with the Old World out, you can tell it's like... No, we're going to remove the old Fantasy Battle stuff from the AOS line.
Yeah, all this old stuff, gone.
Which, you know what? I expected. It's like, okay, we should have expected. Yes. We'll move this back into the old world because it's the same skulls from the Bretonians.
Yeah, exactly.
but for them to kill Stormcast and talk about
that
Stormcast.
That one was weird.
I did not. And to kill the Warcry. Like, killing Stormcast when they said, this is the largest collection we have. Okay, but to kill some of the Warcry bands and say, well, now that they've settled on which Chaos faction is going to... We're going to kill all these old ones. It's like, I am going to clean up because I want those guys for Necromunda.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bunch of people liquidating those armies.
You should see the posts online. People are liquidating AOS like crazy right now. I mean, if you want to get some stuff for Old World, like, I almost bought a Beast of Chaos army for, like, $100. And it was, like, it was a full army. I was very tempted.
You know what? Maybe GW learned from Fantasy Battles when people set their models on fire and threw them in trash cans.
Yeah.
And then just sold people those exact same models, like, 10 years later. It's like, here, I know what we'll do. We'll troll them.
This is their 10-year plan.
Yeah, they now have a 10-year plan. We'll make everyone mad, and then we'll bring them back by selling them the same miniatures.
Exactly. Again. Oh, did you burn these? Well, here you go. Here's your army again. You can have it again.
We call that the Coke New Coke paradigm.
Yes. Oh, no, the new formula is not popular with some demographics. Well, I guess we'll just bring back the other one.
And you know what? It worked.
It
outsold Pepsi right out. It boosted their sales by bringing back the same product they were selling the year before. You know what? I applaud you, Gainsborough. As a shareholder, I applaud.
They know what they're doing to make money. That is very true.
All right, so let's get back to Mezbe.
Okay, so we won our first game. So we did a pretty fluffy build. So I played the Easter. I was doing the Easterlings. I brought Kamul, the Easterling. He's one of the nine Nazgul. And I took one of the named characters and a bunch of horses. And then my friend brought two great beasts, which are those giant beasts that have a bunch of orcs on the back.
Those the elephant thing?
God, not the elephants.
Okay, the elephants are something else. Those are the Easterlings.
Those are the Kandish.
Kandish, okay.
Yeah. Easterlings don't have... The Easterlings have dragons. Not dragons, but drakes.
Gotcha.
No, these are, like, great beasts. They're from Mordor, so he was playing Mordor. They're briefly in the movie.
Oh, okay. I know.
Okay,
I know what
you're
talking
about. They have, like, the singular horn coming off. Yeah.
There were, what, two scenes, and they jump on them and run around them and then, like, run away.
Yeah, yep, exactly. Gotcha. That was it. So he brought two of those. They're pretty giant. And then he brought the Witch King on a horse. So that was our army. So we had the Witch King and Kamul and then a bunch of other guys. And then, so our first... the first people that we fought were, they were playing the nine old kings of men. So it was all the nine kings before they were corrupted into Nazgul. Now they were just playing Gondor and they just took nine Gondorian kings, but they painted them all up and got miniatures for each of the nine kingdoms. So it was pretty fluffy battle. We won that one. And then our second battle was really bad. Our opponents, the table was really not good for us. Our opponents were very sweaty tryhards, and it was just not fun to play. It was so unmemorable. It was a bad time. And so our last round was absolutely amazing. We went up against two brothers dressed as hobbits, and they played 40 hobbits and two ents. And so the tree ents, they got stopped by the great beasts, and the great beasts got stopped by the tree ents, and so they were just stuck in the middle of the board while I was tasked with taking out all the hobbits. Turns out it's really hard to take out 40 hobbits. They just jump you. So we lost by just getting just overwhelmed by 40 hobbits. By round 8 or 9, I was already out of the game because all the hobbits just jumped on me.
Because
you get more dice if you're trapped, and so how you get trapped is you're surrounded by opponents and you can't move back. And so if you have 40,
it's very easy.
It's very easy to get trapped. So it's just like, oh, cool. This is good.
See, normally when I play, no matter what the game is, since I don't play the games a lot, I'll just have like, I normally do the hammer and anvil. So I'll have one unit just, this can be Star Wars Legion, 40k, whatever. My line guys just move forward, and then cavalry guys sweep along the flank. You're trying to hammer an anvil, do that trap.
Yep.
He literally just Soviet peasant army. Just
yes, yes, yeah.
I'll surround them like water. I will flow like water over the forces.
I mean, I was like, if I won the fight, which was like, if I had my leader in there, was super easy, but I would only be able to take out like one or two, and that's just like, it's still just a never-ending stream of just hobbits. So it's just, they were just able to just, every time, it's like, okay, I take out two. Oh, there's four more behind them. I take out two. There's four more behind them. And it was just never ending, and I just could not keep up.
I had that same problem in Kill Team First Edition, when you play Custodes.
Yeah.
You might bring two Custodes. They could never kill you, but you could never move forward.
Yep. Yeah, I just surround you with a bunch of grots.
Yeah.
Have fun.
I won the battle, but lost the mission.
But that was a lot of fun. We had an hour lunch. So we had an hour lunch, and it was right after the second round, which ended super early because we just kind of gave up. It was so unfun that we just kind of gave up and just let them win, pretty much.
Gotcha.
And so we had 2 hours to kill. So we went over to the main hall, since there's the shuttle. And that's when I went and talked to Electi Studios.
The makers of Hobgoblin and Blaster.
Yes. So I was super stoked to talk to them. The guy, one of the main designers and editors, recognized me from last year. Because I was at their booth for like an hour and a half playing games of Hobgoblin with them, getting super stoked about it. And so they recognized me, and so he was able to demo his next game. His game, this is his first game, and it's in the next blaster. And it's miniatures agnostic. I guess all of them are miniatures agnostic. But it's a Titanfall-esque mech game. So you have, each person has like 5 or 6 regular like army dudes. And then an event happens, and then both of your mechs drop on the battlefield. So like you play a couple rounds, and then an event happens, and then your mechs drop. And then you have a mech on the table. And it's super cool. I'm definitely going to pick it up, because I mean, I asked him, like, the scale is going to be 28mm. So you can use Infinity miniatures, you can use Blackout, you can use... he actually, like...
I might use my Blacksite Studio Mobile Arms Endless Destiny miniatures.
Hey.
Because those were supposed to show up a couple months ago. Let me turn around and grab... Oh, wait, they're not there.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have the rule book.
You, You have the rule book.
I also have mechs for it because I didn't buy all of the stuff.
No, no. Apparently, that was a classic mistake.
See, you just have to buy the rules. You just have to make sure you have all the miniatures to play them. They're... But you just buy the rules. That's what you do with Blacksite Studios. And then when it's released, then you go buy the miniatures.
You know, that's why I've really backed off the Kickstarters. A lot.
No, I like their, I do like their system because they're not Kickstarters.
Yeah, they do that pre-order.
It's a pre-order thing, and I think that works very well for them. And I will do it until I find a game that I don't like, which I'm not super enthused with their next game, but then I got to play it, and I know a couple people that are disenfranchised by other game big companies right now. That might just take it and run with it. So, you know, it might just be worth it to get it just to get more people into miniature games.
What's their next game?
Night Hunt.
Is that Vampire one?
It's the Vampire one.
Yeah.
It sounds actually kind of cool. So you play, like I said, I went to Electus Studios, talked to them for a while.
Okay, yeah,
got Blaster.
Where's my Hobgoblin?
Yeah. That's good. Hobgoblin will be coming out. Speaking of, they just locked shipping for it.
Okay.
So we just had to lock our shipping addresses in, which means they're getting close. That means it's going to be shipping probably in the next couple weeks. Okay. So, good job on that. They were super cool, and then I made a pass through everything. I picked up a couple miniatures here and there. I picked up a couple of the special miniatures from Monster Fight Club for the couple games that they make miniatures for. Mostly it was Tiny Tina and Claptrap from Borderlands.
Yeah, they didn't have any of the Combat Zone special miniatures.
Well,
that one confrontation, like the one person jumping on top of the other.
Well, there was that one. That was a pre-order miniature. Okay. So if you pre-ordered the next game, which is set in the TV show era, you get that miniature.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to pre-order that game in order to get that miniature. I am interested in that box.
I don't care. Do you want the
flat pack? Do you want the flat miniatures? Or do you want the actual miniatures?
I want the actual
miniatures. Yeah, I figured. I was kind of interested in the flat pack ones because I was like, well, there's no building, there's no painting, and I just get to play right away. But I didn't pre-order it, so I didn't get the special miniature.
Like I said, I did pre-orders for Combat Zone Red. We did the Kickstarter on that one.
Yeah, we did.
What was that? How many extra years?
That was a while.
Yeah.
That was a long time. Now, they did have everything there, which means that it's already been, produced and everything. They're just waiting on, the bulk of it being printed. So they had all the miniatures on display, they had the boards on display, they had all the cards there, you could play test the game, or you could demo the game. So it was all there. So it was all ready, there's nothing they need to do other than actually, make it. So, and like I said, it was just a pre-order, not a Kickstarter. So, they're obviously doing decently well for themselves.
Yeah, it's worked.
And then we had to go back and play the last game, which was against the Hobbits. And then by the time we were done there, everything was closed. So we just went and got some food. And then that was Friday. And then so Saturday was Infinity Day. That was the first part of the five game, 2-day ITS. And I did exceedingly well my first day. So first game, my back's hurting. Like I said, I hurt my back beforehand, and my back's hurting. So I'm like, all right, I'm told my opponents, hey, I'm going to sit down for most of this game. I'll stand up when I need to, but if you can help me, with stuff, I don't want to, I'm going to be here all day, so I don't want to be hurt. But first turn, I just run through this guy, get all my points that I need for the game, and just stop him from doing anything for the rest of the game. And great opponent, just could not roll dice. which, you know, I get. That happens to me. But yeah, I just rolled right through him. And then second game, and we had lunch. That's when I went and I bought a couple other miniatures. No, I just went... Oh, I did a return. One of the guys didn't want his stuff from Corvus Belli, so I had to do a return to them. And I was going to buy their board game, the Rem Racers, because Etna didn't get it yet. But they were already sold out at the time. So I was like, well, that was a waste of lunch. Did the return, went back. Second game, I lost. Great game. But he just outgunned me. Third game, they messed up on pairings, and so took 15 minutes. There was 15 minutes into the round before we even started, and they didn't account for that into the timing. So they ended when they were ending, no matter what. So we lost 15 minutes, and then of course, you know, setup and everything, and we got to the bottom of first round, and they announced that there was 10 minutes left. And I was like, and it was right after I was just like, I'm going to make a desperation play so that I can get some points in this first round. And because I'm going to lose these miniatures. So I push, the mission is to push a ball into your opponent's area and then hold it. And then, so I pushed the ball into his area, held it, killed somebody, and then did my special objective. And I was like, okay, cool, I got that. And then they announced 10 minutes, and we were like, oh, crud. There's no way we can take another turn. Because if he gets his turn, then I have no rebuttal. I don't get it. It's totally uneven. And it's just like, so we either get 5 minutes each, which then just, we decided just to cut it. We'll just call it there. So I got 3 points, and I won the game. Because I was just trying desperately just to get that 3 points at the beginning of the game. So that the rest of the game would go well. But apparently that won me the game. So I put an asterisk next to it. And then went to dinner. I went out with a couple of the Infinity guys to a crazy Mexican place that was like...
You went to Illinois to get Mexican food. We live in New Mexico.
I know. It wasn't my choice.
Okay.
It wasn't my choice.
You know, I ran into the same thing when I went to New York during this. It's they were like recommending restaurants. Like, oh, there's a good Mexican place. Look, I didn't drive 2,000 miles
it's funny.
Out here to get Mexican
yeah,
food.
I know. That is how I felt. But I was like, okay, it's with friends. And, you know, they're all from up here. So, you know, they're not really like...
Brian, have you heard of this salsa? It's called salsa.
Well, so I took my first bite, and they all, like, turned to me. They're like,
trying to get the judgment.
Is it good? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. They're like, oh, okay, cool.
they didn't want to enjoy it if it wasn't authentic.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was pretty funny. So that was a lot of fun. I got to see a lot of people that I haven't seen in a while. It was actually two people that usually play at Nova.
Okay.
And then two other people, and the one person, she was a friend from way back when I was first starting Infinity. And she lives up in Milwaukee, so pretty dang close to Chicago area. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, I decided that my back was too hurting. It was in too much pain. I was just going to skip the last day of Infinity. I was like, I really want to play because I think I could do really well. But also my back is in pain and I want to go around the vendor hall because they close at 3. So we take our time. I take my time getting up in the morning. I go and get breakfast with some friends from town.
Did you give me a little moped like grocery stores?
Oh, God, I wish. God, I wish that would have made the day so much better. Oh, then I would have definitely played Infinity. Just crashing into people.
I don't know, your Infinity game could be like, do you move? No.
No.
Do you rotate? No.
No.
Whatever they can see, they're shooting at.
So then that's when I decided that I was going to spend a bunch of time at... what is... Black Sight Studios. And at that point, they were pretty much sold out of all of their Hametsu stuff, because their Hametsu was just, everybody loved it. Like, they were sold out. They only had one, they had two books left. They had two miniatures left. And, like, they were just wiped out. A bunch of their terrain was gone. A bunch of their miniatures were gone. The three zines that, that I wanted were gone. The first day, the one thing that I did do right before I went back to gaming for lunch, was go to them because I wanted the three zines that they were releasing. And so I went up to them. They were out of the first one. The guy right before me bought the last one. And I was like, dang, that sucks. That is exactly, that's all I wanted. So started talking to them, you know, there was no one really there, which was nice. So I was able to talk to them. I pulled out my bag and I was like, hey, I'm a big fan of y'all's. Check this out. I brought out their case and they got so excited. It's like they've never seen somebody outside of themselves actually buy it.
They've sold it, but never actually seen.
They've never seen anybody actually use it. And so, like, I showed it off, and they're like, oh, this is exactly what we imagined people would use it for. This is exactly what we wanted. And, like, so they started talking to me. The one guy that was running the register, like, grabbed another guy and was like, hey, you gotta check this out. It's your thing. And apparently it was the guy that actually designed it and, like, printed and everything. And he's just like, yeah, this is exactly what I wanted it to be used for. This is I didn't think I was going to sell it. I made it for myself to begin with. Okay. And they're like, let's throw it on the store, see how it does. And they're like, they called it Case 01 because now they're going to go back and make more. So that's that. I thought that was super cool. He thought it was so cool that I did that. And then when he did turn around, he's like, we talked for a little while and he looked at me. He kind of, like, looked at me again, and he's like, were you here last year? Did you, like, you were the one that stayed for, like, an hour and a half playing every single one of our games, right? I was like, yeah, that was me. He's like, hell yeah, that's super cool. And then he's like, here, I'm going to try, I think I know where that last scene is. I think I have one left over. And so he goes, like, 5 minutes goes by, and he comes back, he's like, here it is. There you are. So I get all three of the scenes that I wanted. Super cool. And then he's like, here's the patch. Put it on the bag. That's on us. So that was like super cool interaction with them. That was a lot of fun. Fast forward to Sunday. I go to the, I can't remember their name, but it's the guys that do Wild in the Streets.
Yeah, I know the company you're talking about.
They're chilling out.
Super. Do not cool. Keep their Facebook page really updated.
No, not at all. They are very lo-fi, very hush-hush. It's like, if you want to know about their games, you got to go ask a punk, because they're the only ones that know. No. You know, the classic punk stuff, you know. And so, you know, I, as a punk myself, that is near and dear to my heart. So I go and talk to them, and they're releasing a game, that is called, I would have to cuss for this one. I know, I'm not going to. But it's, Record Collectors Are Pretentious A-Holes. Yeah. And so that's their board game that they're releasing. So I got an advanced copy of that. And since they also recognized me from last year, because I bought, like, the most miniatures from them last year. And so they're like, they recognized me. They're like, well, you're cool, you return to us, you're gonna buy more stuff from us, here's a whole bunch of stickers, here's the first expansion, we only brought like four of these to give out to cool people, and here, you're one of the cool people. So, and then, like,
you know, there's 80 boxes behind them.
No, like, literally, like, they took it out, and like, they brought, like, it was like eight, it was like a sample case. So, like, because they're doing a Kickstarter for their new, their game, that game, and their new miniatures for Wild in the Streets soon. I don't know when, but soon. I'll tell you, because I'll know before you do.
Okay. Oh, I don't doubt it.
But they had four new miniatures that they were showcasing for this event, but they weren't selling unless you were cool. And guess what? I was cool. So I was able to buy their four new miniatures, which they only brought like five of each. So they sold me those ones, and they're like, well, check us out on Kickstarter. We'll be up there soon. So I got a whole bunch of cool stickers, and I got the new game, a expansion for it, and four new miniatures. So that was super cool. And then by the time, like, I was super tired because it's Sunday, they closed at 3. So we just walked around. We checked out this booth called Free Blades. Interesting miniatures. It's a game.
Okay.
There was another one called, I can't remember, it was something Blade. Not Free Blade. But they were super popular. My friend told me to go check them out. They were super popular. But yeah, that was, oh no, that wasn't it. We found this little area called Grimdark Alley. And so it's kind of tucked off into the back, and I'm totally going to reveal their secret. But it's like, you don't really see it. It looks like a coat closet. Like, you would just totally pass it. There's some booths in front of it, and it's all the vendors. They vend stuff, and, like, it's an artist. He sculpts miniatures. He does custom miniatures. They all do, like, kit bashing for Grimdark. They have a podcast and a zine for custom rules for Necromunda, and they do some Necromunda stuff, but mostly it's the, what's the old Curse City game?
You mean the old Warhammer Quest lines?
No, not the old Warhammer Quest, the,
oh, Mordheim.
Mordheim, yeah. Yeah, so that is their big game, is Mordheim. So Mordheim Necromunda, custom Necromunda, and, like, all the Morkborg miniature games, like, they were all going on in there. And they had, like, campaigns, and they had these, like, all of these people were, like, artists and tattoo artists, and, like, it was, like, all the metalheads and punks that were in there. And so you go in, and it's super quiet. They had, like, a case of beer out. They had, like, pastries and, you know, and, like, coffee for everybody. And, like, they had these, like, beautiful, immaculate, just, like, awesome display boards for their matches. And, like, they were, like, 3-4 levels high, and, like, everything was, like, lighted, and everything was custom made. It was super cool. And then you go to, like, each different room, and there was a different game being played. Like, one was the Morkborg game, one of them was Mordheim, one of them was Necromunda, and it was just, it was a super cool little area that you would have never known existed. And so we hung out there for a little bit, talking shop and everything, and, like, they're just like, yeah, come here next year, like, we'll be playing these different games. And I was just like, yeah, let's do that one. Me and my friend were like, yeah, we're gonna be here a lot next year.
That's cool.
And it's right next to the vendor hall, so, like, you, here's the, like, the entrance is right there, and then to the right, it's just right there, and it looks like you would just, it would just be like a coat room. But no, it's like this super cool area where they just hang out and just play super cool games. So that was one of the big highlights of the weekend.
The off map, the hidden area.
Yes. And then we went to Kuma's Corner, which is next to the old the secondary hotel. And they're a metal and punk bar and a burger place, and they do specials for Adepticon. They have dice that you get, they could do special dice every year that you could buy. You get two dice if you buy their Adepticon burger, which was not on my menu. It's gross. It looked bad. It looked like it was like what you think of what gamers eat. Had, like, Doritos on it. Yeah. It had Mountain Dew aioli. It was something. Nacho cheese on it.
Mountain Dew aioli.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. But super cool place. You could buy their own set of D6s. And then, so had some food there. And then I bought all my friends a shot of Malort, which is a Chicago special.
Is that that pickle juice thing?
It doesn't come with pickle juice, but pickle juice definitely helps wash out the flavor of it. Because it is a, if you've never been to Chicago, I suggest going to a bar that serves Malort, because you know it's going to be a good bar. You ask for a shot of Malort, and that's how you start your night. Get a thing of pickle juice, or at least another shot of something, like Everclear or
turpentine.
Wash out the flavor, because it does last. It lingers, and it sticks around for a while, and so you just want to make sure that you're not just tasting the aromas of wormwood all night.
Oh, jeez. It's made with wormwood?
It is, yeah.
So it's like absinthe.
It's like absinthe without all the flavors without, that make absinthe.
Without the charm?
Yes. Exactly.
Rubbing alcohol with flavor.
No, it is described as one of the worst alcohols ever made. And the guy that made it thought it was really good because he's been smoking for 50 years and couldn't taste anything else.
Because after he had that tumor removed from his brain, he's like, wow.
This is amazing. Exactly.
So let me ask you, are you going back to Adepticon?
Oh, 100%.
2025?
I was debating if I wanted to go to GaryCon, because GaryCon is the same weekend for some reason. And I had to think about it, and I think I would much rather go to Adepticon, just because there is so much for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there'd be a lot for me to do at GaryCon, but I think there's more for me at Adepticon.
Well, I know we talked about that before you went, where GaryCon should be a weekend off.
Yes.
Because then you would have just...
I would just stayed in Chicago. Yeah, I would have just... So stayed in Schaumburg for the weekend for Adepticon, and then go to Lake Geneva for the weekend of GaryCon, which is literally, it's like an hour and a half away. Everybody flies into the same airport. Yeah. We all fly into O'Hare, and it's crazy because like the plane going to O'Hare, like we ran into two people that were playing in the Mezbeg doubles tournament, which is wild. Like going, like meeting somebody that's going to Adepticon, not crazy. Meeting somebody that's playing a game that you're in and it's not like 40K, very crazy. But I was talking to somebody that was going to GaryCon. There was two other people that were talking about 40K. There was one of the nerdiest planes I've ever been on, because everybody was going to a convention and there was like four or five people in there that was just like, they're normal. Freaking normies.
That was, Nevin, when I could imagine the steward staff on the airplane wearing masks. Oh, it's for the smell.
It's for the smell. We were pretty well put together for that one. Okay. The ride back. The plane back, on the other hand.
Okay. Well, Brian, thank you for sharing the Adepticon sojourn.
Yes.
We'll look forward to next year. So going forward, we'll talk about... In a future episode, we'll talk about Rumble.
The two conventions I'm going to be?
No, your game.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
not Rumble. Don't.
Okay.
Call it Rumble. Retribution. Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Retribution. So,
yes, the Rio Grande Retribution.
The Infinity Tournament. We'll talk about that, and then since you're not going to Nova Open, I'll do the Nova Open.
Yeah, you're definitely going to be doing the Nova Open.
Yeah. Got to get started. Putting up the videos of me getting my Bretonians ready for the field. Nothing like fresh 2003 sculpts.
Fresh off the printer.
All right, everyone out there, thanks for joining us today. Brian, good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Hope your back gets better.
Me too.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us at Miniature Wargaming Labs, and we'll see you next time.
Have a good one.
Go ahead and I'll do the intro here.
One second. You're going to get a nice sound from that.
All right. All right. 3...